Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Porch Talk, and we are cooking. Got you 20% off when you go to www.manscaped.com. That's right, this episode is sponsored by Manscaped. You can use promo code Porch Talk at checkout. Get 20% off of your order. For all the fellas out there that's been wondering about the wonderful products of Manscaped, here's you a chance. Get you a little discount. That could be from the Crop Preserver, which is the ball deodorant, which helps with chafing and also keeps your junk smelling good, to the Beard Hedger, to the lawnmower, even to their Weed Whacker, which is a ear and nose trimmer. I wanted to focus in on the Beard Hedger. It's got this this wheel that you spin with your thumb, and it raises and lowers the guard. That's right, you no longer have to have 10 guards in a bag as you're grooming. And you know how much I love a beard. Been rocking one for some time, and it's good to be able to just dial in what I need on that Manscaped. I don't have to worry about my wall trimmer and my side guard that I use on the side of the beard, and then even like down by the chin, what guard. No, I know what I have to do with this beard hedger now. Makes things real easy, keep things real clean, real tight. Highly recommend the product. So guys, if you're looking to take your beard game to the next level, maybe the Beard Hedger is the choice for you. And ladies, if there are any ladies out there, maybe this is something that you could get for your man to help boost confidence, whether it's his beard game or maybe he needs the lawnmower for downstairs. Who can say? But if you go to manscaped.com, you can get 20% off your total purchase order by using the promo code PORCHTALK. Promo code PORCHTALK, all one word, all caps, at checkout, 20% off. Thank y'all so much. Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. And I have Josh Williams, Fire Camino, one and the same. Josh, tell me how this works.
What's up, man? Basically, you can't Google Josh Williams. If you Google Josh Williams, you'll get a million results. So I had to come up with another thing to where people could find me.
Right on. And so, Fire Camino, where does that come from?
All right, so years and years ago, a buddy of mine thought, like, how cool would it be to take the engine out of a Fire Camino? I mean, goddamn it. All right, to the listener, we've been drinking.
Okay, let's we will air all this out for them.
Yeah, we've been drinking, so if I'm not 100% clear, that's fine. That's part of it. What I was saying is if you take the engine out of a Firebird, that good old big block GM 350. No, it's a small block. Whatever. You take the fucking engine out of a Firebird and you throw it in an El Camino, you get a Fire Camino. And that's where I get my name.
Dude, I was, right when I come across it. Like, we've been following one another on Instagram for some time, but right when I saw the name, I was immediately attached to it just because I thought that may have been what it was. And now that I know for sure, I 100% back it.
Yeah. Hey, you are correct, my friend.
So, have you always been a car guy?
I have, yeah. I've always loved cars, man. I love working on them, you know. But that's the thing. If you ever need any mechanic work, I'm your dude.
This is really good to know. Now, granted, I'm not going to solicit him to you, but...
No, you should. I need the money. So if there's any Porch Talk fans that need car work done, just DM me. If it's not too far away or too messed up, I will do it.
Oh, this is great. They were getting you work.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. This is better than plugging my music.
Dude, we're going places. We should have got socially lubricated a long time ago.
Yeah, no, this is totally how this works, where it's like, hey, man.
All right, so, dude, bring...
It's not a Fire Camino interview if you're not drunk.
Fair enough, bud. So, man, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Birmingham, Alabama. I grew up in Margaret, Alabama, on a little farm. And I right now live in Pinson.
All right, and for those listening, tell us a little bit about Pinson.
Pinson's nice. It's a little bitty town, but I mean, ain't much going on.
Is this like more toward like Talladega side? I'm not familiar.
No. So if you're in Birmingham, if you go up 79 Highway, so you go up 79, and like every time I ever go to Birmingham, even to go to work, I go 79 Highway.
Okay.
You go through Tarrant, and then you go through some other little like trailer park type things, and you'll get to Pinson. And it's a small little town. It's nice. I mean, we got a food giant, we got a post office,
all the things that need to make a town, dude. I'm so with this, Josh. I'm telling you, like, I'm from Kennedy, Alabama, and. Yeah. We have a gas station, a place to get your hair cut, and a post office. We don't even like legally have a mayor anymore.
What happened there?
Well, it just came to a point to where, like, I mean, it's a small community. It's like, I don't know, we could probably look at the census, but I would estimate like somewhere around 500.
Damn. So yeah. Y'all are a little bit smaller than us. I think we're only like 2,000.
Right. And so, like, the neighboring town, Millport, they actually have a little, it used to be a Jitney Jungle, Piggly Wiggly, you know, it kind of changed names quite a bit. And so that made up my high school, South Lamar, and I graduated with 29 people.
Damn.
Yeah, small run, dude.
Now, is it Greene County or is it Pickens County?
Oh, dude, you're all over it. So it's Lamar County. It's just north of Pickens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you are more north than what I thought.
Yeah. So in like where I'm at now in Columbus, that's just across the state line. And like Columbus, Mississippi is it's where I cut my teeth with music. I was taking music lessons from a old cat over here by the name of Dennis McKay. And this bar is no longer in existence. But it was like a firehouse kind of pub take on it.
Yeah.
And I played my first show at 17 years old in this town I'm sitting in right now.
Hell yeah.
So what about you, man? Tell me a little bit about your upbringing. Like what was the high school life like?
So I wasn't there for much of high school. I worked in a factory ever since I was 13 years old, so I was off on work release. So I would go in like early in the morning, and I would do like my core classes, like, you know, you gotta do your English and your math and all that shit. And I'd do that, and then I would it was off to the factory for me.
That's wild, dude. Like, you know, that sounds like Dust Bowl. That sounds like 1920s, like Great Depression stuff. And
see, that's what everyone tells me. They're like, damn, man, did you grow up in the 30s? You
Yeah,
I was working a machine since I was like 13. Like I used to work a rewinder, so I worked at a printing press. And you know what it is whenever stuff is printed. So like we used to do, you know, the labels that go on Coke bottles. Like yeah. If you buy like a one of them plastic bottle Cokes at the gas station,
mm-hmm.
those little you know, the plastic shit that goes around the Coke bottle.
Yeah, the label.
Yeah, we used to make that.
Okay.
So what would happen is when it comes off the print press, it comes off in these giant, like, 5,000-foot rolls. But, I mean, you can't ship it out like that.
Right.
So they have these things called rewinders. And so you take those big rolls and you roll them over and you put them on a press, like a hydraulic press, and raise it up and you put it on the machine and it would go down the smaller rolls. So we'd do it in like 100 or 200 count rolls. Mm-hmm. Then we'd send those off to Coca-Cola or whoever, and then they'd put them on the bottles.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, not to dig too much, but, dude, when I turned 15 and... like, my birthday was in November. I didn't get my permit until, like, July of the following year. And, mm-hmm. like, I was living with my grandparents at the time on my dad's side. And I knew my grandpa had a philosophy. If you're old enough to drive, you're old enough to work. And so, like, well, I'm not going to legally do this thing, right?
Yeah.
And,
I mean, hey, that's the way you
and, and that was not a way out. You know, when I turned 15 and I eventually went on to get my permit just because, like, it wasn't helping my case, I thought I had it figured out. And so, like, I turned 15 and my grandpa, like, his best friend sold him an old beat-up Ford Ranger for $1. And that was my truck. And
so that was your first car as a Ford Ranger?
Yes, and I've owned 3 Ford Rangers. I'm in a Tacoma now, but I had a Ford Ranger and then a Crown Victoria, and then a Ford Ranger, and then a Toyota Tacoma.
Hell yeah!
But I knew what was coming when I came of age to drive, and it's kind of similar to your story, but not really. I mean, you're in the Birmingham area, so it's a little more industrialized than where I'm from, but I had to go work on a farm. And, like, it was my first job, summer heat, and, dude, I don't think I'm exaggerating, and I still go by that farm from time to time. It's on Highway 17, not far from my home, where we threw the original Porch Talk, or Porch Fest. But I still look at all that barbed wire fencing that I laid, and I'm telling you, I would not be amazed if it was at least a mile and a half of driving fence posts all summer and laying out barbed wire.
But don't you kind of get that sense of pride whenever you drive past, like, that and you go, oh shit, I did that, you know?
I don't know if sense of pride. I don't know, because. I just remember the pain, but like I am thankful for it because like it did teach me like you know just work, and work is important, and just seeing how, you know, 17 years later that fence is still fine, and like every now and again, if you know, like if you were riding in the car with me in that part of Alabama, I would, you know, I put that fence up 17 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's still there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's fine, you know.
Because I did construction, too, for a little bit, and there's places where it's like, I put an AC unit in that house. You know what I mean? Like, you drive past certain places, and you go, I did that, I did, you know.
You know,
it may not mean shit to anybody else, but when you're driving around, you go, hey, I did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's the same, and, man, I'll tell you this is, and then we'll start talking about music, maybe. dude, I graduated high school, and my senior year, me and a buddy of mine, we were in a race for most tardies for first period, and it came to a point to where we were both called into the principal's office. It was like, look, if this happens like 3 more times, you can't walk. And I looked over at my buddy and I was like, dude, it's over. I'm not going through this experience again. I'm out. I wasn't a fan of school. And so, like, we straightened up. We got off the, let's see how many times we can be tardy. And I ended up finishing ninth in my class out of, what I told you, 27?
Yeah.
And, dude, that wasn't me. Like, that wasn't a reflection of me. That was just a reflection of, like, just fellow classmates, like, helping me. I mean, and I'm sure you are, too. Is if I care about something, yeah, I'll look into it and I'll study. But just school, it wasn't that way for me, especially in my younger years. Like, I had just obstacles. Like, they were just kind of in the way that kind of, like, the way a classroom is set up really doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem with a lot of, like, how our education system is set. Is like there's certain people where it's like it don't click, but you don't need to try to force somebody into that. You know what I mean? You need to have a system where it's like, hey, you can do other shit and still make a living. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they try to go like, no, you need to go to college. And they like all, like, especially high school is so geared to like, oh, let's get you in the fucking college. And it's like,
well, I mean, not even that. I mean, think about, like, just the way that we run schools, you know, from a, you know, 7:30 to 3 or whatever that looks like for you, is, like, that was put on by Henry Ford, and that was gearing people up for factory life.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and so, like, this is not, you know, and... You know, we're talking now about getting away from daylight savings to just keep it to where, you know, you don't have that wacky loss of hour, gain of hour. And I hope that passes. Like, one or the other. Let's just decide, right?
I kind of agree with you. I kind of disagree with you. And the only reason I disagree is because I think so much of it is they just want to standardize time clocks. And they want to have them goddamn Amazon warehouses and shit of where it's just like, you come in, you do your work, da-da-da, it don't matter what day, it don't matter what time, everything blends together, fuck you, you work for the company, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that.
Because, like, the thing with daylight savings time is it kind of helps you because it's like, well, you know, like, I don't know about you, I like seeing the fucking sunshine. There ain't nothing worse than working, like, especially because there's been times at my job now where it's like you go in and you work 12 hours a day and it's like, well, I went in before the sun came up and I'm leaving after the sun's done set. I haven't seen the sunshine the whole fucking day. I've been in a warehouse and all I've seen is fucking brick the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if they got rid of
that, does something to a man, by the way.
I'd never see the sunshine.
Yeah, and that does something to a man.
Yeah, because, I mean, it does, because it just as a human being, it's like, fuck, I want to hear birds, I want to see the sun, I want to see the blue sky, I want to see clouds, I want to, you know, and, like, you get that 1 hour on your lunch break to go, oh, hey, there's a whole life outside of this gray box that I live in.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's what scares me about getting rid of daylight savings time. I understand it's an old thing, and...
Well, I'm saying, like, leave it to where daylight is longer permanently.
Yeah.
You know, we could meet in the middle. We could say that, you know, the sun comes up at 7 and it sets at 7. You know, whatever. Like, let's middle ground. But, you know, it's no, everyone agrees on this, I believe. Like, the wintertime is a very depressing time for most people because of situations like what you're talking about. It's overcast. You don't see the sun. There's not a lot of blue skies. It gets dark quick. It doesn't play like you said. It's like, I want to hear the birds chirping, and I want to have all those things.
Yeah, or I mean, fuck, even just give me a longer lunch break. Let me sit in the park and have a cigarette and go, oh, shit, maybe there's more to life than just a goddamn, you know?
Yeah. And also on top of that, and like with your music, and we're eventually going to get there, is, I mean, this is one thing that I hope this podcast encourages people to do is, man, we were trained in high school to give ourselves to this idea of, you know, after you graduate, maybe you go to college, or maybe you start your own business as a plumber or electrician or whatever it is that you do. And then you give the next 30, 40, 50 years of your life to that. And then you retire, and then you have 5 years of actual freedom. Excuse me? Come on.
It's bullshit, man.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know about you, but I would like to enjoy, and I know it ain't always going to be rainbows and butterflies, but I would like to enjoy maximally most of my life.
100%.
Especially if you only get one.
Yeah.
And that appears to be the case. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, I'm not going to harp on or preach to you. It's one of those things of where it's like, really the only thing that gets me through a lot of days is where I'm going, oh, well, at least there's the afterlife.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Me too, man.
There's some days where I'm like, fuck, there better be a heaven, because if not, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you know? It sure ain't heaven here.
Yeah, because, like, if there ain't no heaven, I'm fucked.
Yeah, it sucked here, and there's nothing after.
Yeah, like, if I'm going to be so mad. Well, also, I mean, like, again, everyone believes different stuff, but I'd be so pissed if it were, it's like, I went through this whole life and everything, and then it's like, oh, actually, there's reincarnation. You're coming back as a minna. I'm like, really? Really? I worked my ass off.
Yeah. But I mean, like, would you even know of your past experience, though, right? But dude, I am with you. Like, I do fall into a Judeo-Christian background. Like, before my parents divorced, me and my brother, we were raised in church, and they divorced at 13, and I wouldn't return to the church until I was 18, and faith is a big part of my life. But I just. As I, you know, get to know people, and I'm just seeing how everything shakes down, it's like sometimes it really challenges my faith. At other times, it really affirms it. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. You know.
And so, like, I think
it gets tricky because, like, that's the thing of where you go. Like, there's so much fucked up shit, you know. And you go, well, if God made everything, you know, but that's not the point of where it's like so much stuff is just the world. And you got to understand, like, God loves us. Mm-hmm. God made every single one of us. And he really does care about every single one of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether we believe in him or not, he cares.
Well, I mean, that's the choice, right? Is whether heaven or hell is your how you spend your eternity. And I like the way this was put, is hell is, yeah, as Jesus said, it fire and brimstone and gnashing and weeping and wailing. But I think those things exist because on this earth, in this plane, we are in a partial experience with God. And hell is the absolute absence of God. And heaven is full experience of God. And so, like, it's not so much that, like, you're being tormented by demons, which you probably will be, but like, hell is the part that scares me the most is, like, you know, whether via nature or just by communicating with another human being, is, like, being able to see God in those moments that really make things worthwhile, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but, like, especially lately, like, especially in nature, like, you see so many beautiful things, you know? And it's like, I know like, especially the way the news and everything is set up now, it's like, oh, bad, bad, bad. Every time you fucking get on anything, it's
oh,
like,
oh, yeah, dude.
Fucking happened and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know about you, but you go out in nature and you're like, oh, shit. Like, everything's beautiful. And God made every bit of this. And God made me. And God made you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, everything is just so. Like, we overcomplicate shit as humans.
Yes, we do.
Because
we
have this self-awareness, and we're like, oh, it must mean this, and whatever, and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no, it's so simple. It's so simple, and it's so easy.
Yeah, know? Dude, and I'll reference a mutual friend of ours, and I'm not saying anything on him or putting anything on him, but during the pandemic, where Taylor Hollinsworth is at the moment, he started like gutting out trails, you know, in the Iron Hills.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like at that time during the pandemic, it was like we were more social on social media than ever. And I really enjoyed that whole journey of him like cutting that trail and like, you know, just the things that he was sharing about it. And like, that was just like the exactly of what you were saying. It's like the importance of getting outside and just being a part of nature. And he would, you know, share about other people in the neighborhood, like they started using the trail, and everyone kind of like landed on the same notion without ever having to say anything. It's like, yeah, this is a good thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's done crazy stuff with that backyard, and one of my favorite things is I'd take him over plants, like I took him over a strawberry plant and some irises and stuff, and I was just like, man, like, just gardening. Like, I mean, I grew up on a farm, so, like, to me, like, that's just when I'm at my most at peace.
Oh, but buddy, we gonna be fast friends, you and I.
But just, there's something about being out there and being down in the dirt and planting something and just, like, that's when I feel the closest with God and nature and everything. Like, you just feel like, you go, yeah, whoever the fuck's in the White House and vaccines and there's this whole thing going on and da-da-da. But you go, yeah, but none of that really makes a fuck in the grand scheme of things, because you go, hey,
dude, it's all social.
We have this.
Yeah, it's all social media hype. Now, granted, like, you and I don't know if we would have met if it wasn't without social media. Social media does have its positives, but for the most part, it's a net negative on society.
Oh, 100%. I agree.
Because of, like, what you're saying, it's like, you and I could just see it, like, just buds hit you up one day, man, let's go fishing. Where? I don't know. Yeah. Let's go down to the creek, and we'll just sit out there on some buckets, throw a line out, and see what happens. And nothing matters for that amount of time, other than what we're doing and what we're conversing about. And we're going to do exactly what you're saying. It's like, we are fully aware of nature and the presence of God and what He has created. And like, man, we might be able to catch some fish, and like, maybe we'll clean them and cook them up, and we'll have a fine time when the sun sets.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, 100%. No, because that's one of those things where, like, that's what I love about fishing so much. I'm sure you do, too. Mm. Where it's like, man, it doesn't matter if I catch anything. Mm. It's about having that quiet time that, you know, nothing. I mean, I know some people bring a radio along, but I don't like that. I want to hear the water run.
I'll ask you this as a musician, especially in a time of riding, is even if I'm in my truck. Now, granted, I do listen to a lot of podcasts, but if I'm in the process of trying to write something or convey something, I won't listen to another musician, because I don't want it tampered. Are influenced by them. Like, I need it natural.
Oh, I'm the same, because I feel like I'm ripping somebody off.
Yeah.
Because you get ideas from people, but also, too, like, I like having those ideas, But like, I'll write it down. I'll go, all right, let me make a note of this, but I won't touch it at the time. Because if I touch it at the time, like if I listen to a Todd Snyder song, I go, hey, that's really fucking good, you know, and now I have an idea about a song. I can't write it in the time because it would just sound like Todd Snyder. It's not going to sound like me.
Yeah, totally. And dude, I got to tell you, and we're going to get, I've said it, I think, three times now. We're going to get to your music. I don't care if we ever do at this point. We're just jiving. But, okay.
We're just talking.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make the podcast 4 fucking hours. Joe Rogan does it. We can do it.
Hey, buddy. But, man, like, spending time with your EP, man, I have thoroughly enjoyed every song. Dude, like, job well done, man.
Well, thank you.
And I'd love to write a review on it, and I'd love to have the entire copy available.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
To share on the show, I'm very proud of what you did, man.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. That was worth doing. Hell, I can send you a fucking CD if you want. And I just put out a cassette too that has that single I emailed you, as well as Jerusalem on a cassette. And if you want, I'll send you that. I'll send you a T-shirt. Just yeah, give me something to send it to. I'll
hook you up on that. But I wanna before we move on from that is like, you know what I think about when I go fishing?
What?
Absolutely nothing.
And ain't that the best?
Yeah, it is.
Because that's the problem. Is like every day. It's like, oh, fuck, I got a truck payment to make. Oh, fuck, I got this going on. Oh, my woman wants this. Oh, I got to fucking do that. I got rent due. I got this due. There, all this bullshit at work because these dumbass cocksuckers don't know how to make decisions. And you got all this shit you got to deal with. And you're arguing with FedEx on the phone because it's like, oh, this was a new shipment. Da, 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 da. And you have all this stuff. every single thing going through your head. Oh, that dude at Wendy's was an asshole. Like,
but speaking of which, like that guy at Wendy's,
that you're just like, oh, I want to kill everyone.
Yeah, but not at, really, but at, I mean. But at that guy at Wendy's, he wants to 86 everybody too, because like how many of you or me has he dealt with that day? And it's like,
he's dealt with a million assholes.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't feel like, truthfully, I harbor no resentment to anyone that I deal with on a daily basis, because I understand they're dealing with their shit and they have to deal with every single thing in their life, not just like work. You know, because it's one thing, it's like, I had to deal with an asshole at work. But you have all the personal shit where it's like, oh, your mom has something wrong with them, and this and that and whatever. It's like, everyone has so much weight put on their shoulders. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And we're all just trying to make it.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to get to tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, with the closing track of your record, Where I Stand, and like with some of the statements that you make, it's like it really resonates with me. You know, it's like, and it's kind of like the finale of the song. It's like, where are we standing? It's like, in the end, we're just trying to get by. If we could just shut all this other outside noise up and just focus on what we're actually trying to do.
Yeah. If I can teach anything throughout my music, throughout me talking on anything, if I can teach anything, if there's any legacy I leave behind, even if I'm fucking forgotten, if I can teach anything, it's compassion.
I think
having compassion for another person and going, hey, this all sucks, but let's love each other in the moment. Make it work.
I think there's a thing now, and like, hear me out, is like compassion and these words that we use about like lifting one another up is really misconstrued currently. And I think for social clout, and I think social media really poisoned the water. And my example is, I remember Mr. Beast. He did this charity to where he was curing blindness. He was getting the LASIK surgery for, I don't remember how many people. And
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and, you know, it was left, right, no matter where you were on the political spectrum, someone had a comment about it. And I was like, you know, whether how you feel about it, so many people can see now that weren't able to see. Like, can we just be happy about that?
Right. Why we gotta make it? That's what fucking pisses me off, of where people always try to turn it into a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of where it's like, well, what does it mean politically? What does it mean whatever? Who gives a fuck?
It probably doesn't mean anything because people don't think like that.
that is the problem. But you know, because people want that fucking, it's almost a sports team mentality. Where it's like, well, it's us or it's them. It's us. And that's why, like, politically, I don't want to get into it because I know that's not what your show's about. And I'm not trying to get political or whatever. But, like, I'm in the middle. Like, on a lot of things.
Oh, me too, bub.
Yeah. Where it's like, hey.
But, like, when one side gets crazy, it pushes me to talk about it.
Yeah, that's the problem. Of where it's like, I mean, I want to own a machine gun, and also I think you should be able to get an abortion. You know what I mean? Like, you're stuck.
Yeah.
In the middle. And the problem is, you're never left enough for the left, and you're never right enough for the right. So you're just stuck in the middle, and you're an asshole either way. And they give you shit either way.
That's exactly it, bub. And so,
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But if it's one of those things, if we just look and go, hey, we're all in the same shit. We all got to go work a shitty job. We all got to go do things we don't want to do. If we just look at, if we have compassion, what I was saying, if we have compassion and go, hey, we're all kind of in the same boat.
Well, Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Is like, when's the last time when you walked up to, let's just say that you were performing that night and you were walking throughout the crowd, or maybe you went to a show. Like, when is politics or abortion or any hot button topic, when is that ever the first thing brought up? No one talks about that shit.
No, not for real.
Like, that's not the point. Like, we're out here for a good time.
Politically charged show.
Yeah.
That will not be the first thing, but and even then, it's like, for fuck's sake, man, that's not the point. Like, okay, I absolutely hate, one of my pet peeves is when you go to a show and they tell you to vote.
I hate that shit too.
What the fuck is the point of rock and roll?
Well, I mean, that's really my, you know, like, I really want to have a punk rock band right now because I don't consider punk rock to be punk rock anymore.
Well, it's not because it's too political. It's like,
exactly. What? And I just, like, the point of punk rock is to be punk, and, like, it's not punk anymore. Like, you somehow found a way to take being punk away from being punk, and it's, like, ridiculous. Over bullshit.
So I'm going to burn a bit because it played us in the conversation.
Okay.
All right. So on St. Paddy's, I have a show coming up on St. Paddy's.
Plug it, baby.
I am giving away t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Free t-shirts. Now, I've took time out of my day. I've took money. I made t-shirts. I'm not selling them. I'm giving them the fuck away. And nothing pisses me off more than when you have fucking podcasts and fucking bands and whatever. Like, well, I'm not communist, but you have these fucking bands and shit that are like, we're communist. Fuck whatever's going on. Da da da. We're communist. And then at the end of whatever their shit, they're like, hey, support us on Patreon. Buy our t-shirts. Whatever. It's like, well, what the fuck? If you didn't give a fuck about money and capitalism.
Yeah, good point.
Now you're out here being like, hey, I want money.
All of a sudden,
you're full of shit.
All of a sudden, you sound like a capitalist to me.
Yeah, because you're trying to sell me something.
That's funny. It's like,
you're using this as bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like,
you know. not to throw shade at the guy. I like some of the things he has to say, but Bernie Sanders, he just wrote a book called It's Okay to Be Angry About Capitalism. And then you get on Ticketmaster to go to the events for the book sale. It costs $90 a pop. And I'm like, do you not see the irony?
Because Bernie Sanders is a goddamn pipe dream. Because he was like over here like, oh, we're going to do all this shit, socialism, we're all for each other. And it's like, but you took all this money for the election.
Mm-hmm.
You now wrote a book that you're selling, and now you're selling tickets for the book. I mean, you're making money off of all this shit.
Mm-hmm. Hand over fist, bub.
You're full of shit.
Exactly. So, dude, let's shift the conversation.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to go on a rant or anything.
No apologies. I mean, that's just where the conversation went, man.
Yeah.
Josh, let me ask you a little bit about music. What made you want to pick up a guitar? What made you want to write a song?
I remember riding around in the truck with my uncle, and like he would have like classic rock or country or whatever playing on the radio. I just remember being like obsessed with it. I was like, guitar was like crazy to me. I was like, you can make noise, you know, like that was so cool. And there used to be in Trustful, there used to be a place called Guitar Effects, and it's now called Guitar Pros.
Mm-hmm.
In Trustful. And I was eight before my birthday, I got a one of them Squire Stratocasters. Like, I just played the hell out of that thing. Like, I wore it down. Like, you could see my fingerprints and shit on the fretboard. I wish I still had that guitar, but I ended up selling it.
Ain't those things special?
Yeah, where you go, damn, I wish I still had my first guitar.
I still have my first guitar, And I've got this shitty bass. And I will never forget the first show where like I started like fingers bleeding.
Oh yeah.
And it was a shitty ass bass, and like it was mine, and it didn't matter. And like after the show, I didn't wipe it off. I didn't clean it. I put it in a case and I put it in the closet. And I was like, if I ever forget where I came from, like let me open up that case and see that shitty bass with blood just dripping all over it, and like remind myself of this is worth it.
I mean, let's be honest, there's something as a man, like the first time you bleed on a guitar, you're like, dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is so fucking cool.
Absolutely. And so man, just from inspiration of, we talked a little bit about high school. After high school, you would just continue on to factory work, would you, Josh?
Well, at 17, I quit a diversified label, which is where I was working, because I just got fed up with it. Because you know how it is. Well, I'll tell you truthfully why I quit is where they were like, hey, we ain't got no money. We'll pay you next week. I'm like, okay.
Sounds great.
I'm a dumbass kid, so I'm like, okay, you'll pay me next week. So I'll work a whole nother week. And then they're like, hey, we ain't got no money. I'm like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then eventually they got bought out, and diversified label's still a thing. But I worked for like 2 weeks for free before I was like, oh, shit, I should probably quit.
Man, that's wild. And so, yeah. Like, just to get you, like, out of high school days up to now, it's like, what would get you on stage? What would make you go to an open mic? What would give you the balls and the gumption to, you know what, I think I have a song?
Sorry, I thought when you said I got a song, I thought you were going to play a song. But no, it's just having something to say. Like, especially like when I started playing open mics, it was like in 2016, and like a lot of shit was happening politically and a lot.
Oh yeah, what a time to be alive.
And I'm like, well, goddammit, I got some shit to say. You know, like you were talking about earlier, that song, That's Where I Stand. Like, I was like, well, goddammit, like fucking, you know, I want to say where I'm at with it, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. So I started playing them open. Like, Revelator Coffee used to have a great open mic. I'd go and I'd play there, you know? And then, you know, that progressed in the other shows and stuff, but yeah, it was and that kind of drive where you're like, hey, fuck, I got something to say, and I want to say it, you know.
I think that's something that, and I don't want to speak for them because maybe they're listening, but like, and I hope they are, and I hope I light a fire under their ass, is, it was like last night, I played the singer-songwriter night, Hunter Myers puts on in Tupelo at Romy's.
Yeah.
And I get back to Columbus, and I live downtown, and so I go by every bar downtown on my way to my apartment. And so, like, I look at the last bar, and it's got everyone I would like to see, so I stop, right?
Yeah.
And I go in there, and there is this chick that I have been trying to inspire for, I don't know, 3-4 years to come and try. Like, trying to book her for my festivals, trying to get her to come out for an open mic, even asking her to do it with me at a show. Like, whatever I could possibly do, right? No. And I call her out. Like, look, this Thursday, I've got an open mic at Monson's. Come. I don't care if you play. I just think that maybe if you see all the courage that everyone else is proclaiming when they do their thing, maybe you would feel brave enough to do what you need to do. So please come.
Yeah.
And I hope that sticks. I hope she comes out. Dude, I'm not exaggerating. I have been on her ass. She has a wonderful voice, and she can play guitar. And she just sits in her bedroom.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is just having the courage to get up and do it. Because let's be honest, like, there are some people that, like, you know, as a songwriter and as a guitar player, you're like, well, they're not worth a damn. I hate to say that. But at the same time, you know, it's like they just don't have whatever it is. But you know what they do have? They have the courage and they have the balls to fucking get up there and fucking do it.
And then they find it, Josh. You have to cut your teeth. You got to put in your time, you know?
Yeah. And just having the balls to get up there and do it, even if it fucking sucks, even if you're terrible.
Oh,
just...
being
able to go, hey, I'm going to do it.
Oh, and by the way, it's going to suck the first time. And it's probably going to suck the first 25 times.
Yeah, you're going to suck for a while. I've sucked for years. I don't think I've ever...
Dude, I still suck. But I ain't quitting, bro.
No, that's the key, is you have to keep going. Whereas, like, even when you think... your shit or whatever, like, you have to go, hey, I'm committed enough to go, I'm gonna keep at it. And eventually you will get good.
Yeah.
Because with anything, you do it long enough. I mean, like, okay, the first time, like, when I did AC work, first time I did duct work, it was dog shit. I cut it all wonky, I taped it all wonky, it was bleeding. Like, you had to, it was terrible. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't know how to run duct work. But you know what? You get better at it. Just like anything. Eventually, over time, you know, and then, I hate to say it, but I kind of have the construction mentality. If you have someone over and they come and they bust your balls, and then you go, okay, well, I guess you got a point, and you get better.
That's just it. And I'm so thankful, man, like, in this Columbus music scene is we got some great players in town, and we hold each other accountable. And I'm so happy that so many people bust my balls. And I need it. And you know what, Josh? At first, I'm mad or upset about it. But you know what?
At the moment, you're like, God damn it, man. This is.
But
you know.
But you know what? They're not wrong.
No.
And that's just the way it is. And so you got to figure out, okay, take that grain of salt, or maybe take it with all the salt, and figure this shit out. Go back to the drawing board, and figure out what works.
But also, too, you learn as a person. Like, you learn a bigger lesson where it's like you learn humility. You get to go, hey, maybe I'm not the shit. You know.
Well, dude, I can tell you that I'm not.
I'm not either.
I'll leave that for Taylor.
Yeah. If anyone is the shit, it's him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what blows my fucking mind. Where he's like, yeah, I'll open for you. I'm like, what do you mean open for me? You're the fucking, you're a legend.
You're kind of a headliner.
You know.
I'll never forget last year is like, I booked him, Shake It Like a Caveman, and Abe Partridge for Porch Fest last year. And granted, the weather was absolute shit, so like a lot of people didn't turn out. And like, I was like, I've got a powerhouse. That's a trio that would easily be, like, in my opinion, like, worth, oh God, I would pay like $80 to see that, easy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you could do this for free. And granted, like I said, the weather was crap. And, like, Taylor and Abe and Shake It Like a Cape, man, I mean, they were so full of grace and so full of humility that they played their set as if they would play it for 10,000 people for 15, 20. And when it was over, they would shake every hand and be, and it's just who they are because they're good people.
Yeah.
You know, and stayed for each other's sets and laughed and had a good time. And that was the evening. And that was, I put a lot of respect on that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's like, there is no one in music I have more respect for than Taylor Hollinsworth. I will say that till the day I fucking die.
Well, you do know that
Taylor.
You do know that this is the simp cast for Taylor, right?
It pretty much is. It pretty much. We're just talking about how fucking cool Taylor is.
No, I'm talking in general. Like if you go to like the Untapped and Vinyl episodes, it's like we have a third chair for Taylor, and once he did sit in that chair once, but like we pretend that he's there.
Yeah.
As we simp for like why people should know about who the fuck he is.
I mean, he's a legend. Like he on it. Like when I say that, I don't mean it. And like, oh, I really respect him. Like it's nice that he worked with me. No. There is no one putting out the quality. Okay. I have seen Taylor open. Okay. When Phoebe Bridgers last came to Birmingham, she played at Avondale Brewery Company. There's probably 1,500 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen Taylor play there. And I've seen Taylor play at fucking Avondale Common House in Little Italy. To people who are talking over him and don't give a fuck, and he's putting on the same level of show.
Dude, he is an absolute powerhouse.
Like, he's a legend. Like honest, like, I will fight anybody. There is no one better in Birmingham than Taylor.
No.
No one.
No, it goes further than that. Like, I'd put Billy Strings up against Taylor, and I don't think Billy Strings would hold a flame if Taylor even cared about having that national presence. And he doesn't, because he's walked away from it time and time again.
Oh, 100%. He's doing all that shit with Oberst, and he's like,
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and you know what, the amount of respect I have for Taylor, where it's like, yeah, Taylor could be touring all over this country.
Mm-hmm. He could.
But he's like, hey, I want to be...
He runs a Birmingham circuit.
But more than that. But he's like, hey, I want to be a part of my daughter's life.
Yeah. He wants to be a dad.
He's like, I'd rather be a good dad than a rock star. Holy fucking shit.
And you know why that is? You know why that is?
Because he's a good person. He's a man.
Not only that, but he had a good dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just that. Dude, let's... I want to wrap this portion of the episode up with this, and then let's go take ourselves a piss. And have ourselves a smoke.
I've been pissing the whole time. I don't know if you've heard it.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, I've been missing out.
I've been pooping like 4 or 5 times, man.
Dude, like, maybe the next episode I can just sit on the toilet and have a bowel movement. But,
yeah, if you're not having diarrhea on the episode.
Oh, my God, dude. My dude. But I want to take a quick break. And so, plug where people can find you and your music.
You can find me at this Instagram, Fire Camino. That's going to be where I'm most active. That's where you can find me if you want to DM me. I'm always open. I can talk to you about fishing. It's like that Lynyrd Skynyrd song. I'll talk to you about fishing.
but don't ask me no questions.
Righto.
I'm on Instagram. If you want to find my music, I'm on Bandcamp at Fire Camino. I ain't really got shit on there, but you can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, whatever the fuck. I make no money from it, but it'll make fucking DistroKid happy. You know?
And by the way, we haven't even talked about music. And we're about to.
Once you take a piss, we can totally do it.
And that's coming. We'll be right back.
If I'm ready. Bye-bye.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Count us in, Father Joshua.
1, 2, 3. Hot summer nights, church parking lot. We dared to try anything once. Love in the backseat, Bible on the dash. We were young, so we thought it would last. You grabbed the Milo's, I'll grab the Stoli. Mom let me borrow her car. Getting drunk never got me closer to Jesus, but it kept me from meeting God. Gas station edibles, box of sweet tea. Lord, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, what I would give to be back with all of my friends. Jesse joined the army, Tyler got married, Paco never made it this far. What I would do to be laughing my ass off in the back of Lillian's car. Well, the AC is broke, but shit, so are we. But none of that matters when you can't fill a thing. Station edibles, vodka, sweet tea. Lord, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, what I would give to be back with all of my friends. Yeah, years have come and years have gone. I still go to that church parking lot just to get stoned. Oh, what I would give to be back with all of my friends. Oh, what I would give if I could see you again.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.